Paul is with the Detroit News. Paul, how are you?
Good. Good morning, Tony.
Well, I was talking with Tim Skubick on the program a couple of days ago, and I mentioned a story that you had written talking about the latest information about that bridge from Detroit to Canada, and you had broken that story, if you will. Go ahead and give us the latest, where we stand, and if anything is going to happen before this current legislation heads home.
Well, the latest is that proponents of this Detroit River International Crossing are still pushing hard for an up or down vote on this project before the lame duck session ends, and that's expected to be December 2nd for the Senate. And there's been very fierce lobbying of Mike Bishop, the Senate Majority Leader, but he's basically said, no, we're not going to have a vote, even though he said in May that there would be one. Former Governor Jim Blanchard and others are pointing to large campaign contributions that the Ambassador Bridge owner, Matty Maroon, gave to funds associated with Bishop, and questioning whether there's a connection there between the money and his about face, and Bishop says absolutely not, that there's no connection whatsoever.
So, obviously, there's a challenge there if he's taking funds for his campaign, which didn't help him to the capacity he needed to get elected. But also, there are other folks who are dragging their feet on this, but there seems to be more of a push to get it done than not get it done. What do you think is going to happen if you had to predict?
It looks very unlikely at this point that there's going to be a vote. You know, Bishop does say, he cites reasons. He says that MDOT was slow in giving him and legislators information that they needed for a vote, and they're saying this is such a complex issue and there's so little time left now that it really makes no sense to do it now, and that we've got a new incoming governor. He should have a chance to assess the situation for himself, and that they're making the argument, at least, that there really is no reason that it has to be done on an urgent basis. I think they're saying there's maybe three session days that are left.
Paul, from what you've seen, because you've covered this story, can it wait until 2011, or is this something that needs to get done now?
There's no question that it can wait. I mean, what the proponents are saying is that the longer it waits, the slower it will be before, the longer it will be before Michigan starts to reap the economic benefits of this project. They're saying 10,000 construction jobs, Michigan still slowly coming out of recession. We need some kind of economic boost. The other concern that they raise, but there really is no definitive proof that this would happen, there's a concern, they say, that Canada might withdraw its offer of $550 million to fund Michigan's share of the project, that if this thing gets stalled, that money might disappear. But Canada certainly hasn't said that they're about to pull that money back.
And finally, so we can put this story to bed and move on, if a vote was taken, do you believe it would pass?
That's a really close call. The proponents think they have enough votes. It sounds like it might be a close vote, but it's probably a moot point because, you know, if they can't get the bill out of committee, and if Bishop isn't signing off on it, it's very unlikely, even in a lame duck session, that there would be enough senators to force a vote on this.
In today's Detroit News, you wrote a piece which I found interesting, titled "More Nerds Needed: Will Rick Snyder's Tech Background Transform the Economy?" You know, I can remember when it was kind of a joke, but it did call a lot of attention to Mr. Snyder when those commercials started coming out. But obviously, as we got to know him a little bit more, we kind of got past the joking part of it. But I think, as opposed to more nerds needed, I think what what your story is saying, we need more smart people working not only with state government, but in business.
Well, I it would be hard to argue against that. And, you know, in part, kind of what the story was just taking a look at is just how, you know, in a historical perspective, the selection of Snyder is quite a departure in terms of his business background, even where he comes from. You know, I was amazed when I researched the story that there hasn't been a governor from Ann Arbor in 146 years, I think it was. And, you know, the story was just really taking a look at the idea that if Michigan really does change, then historians may look at this as kind of a watershed event. But you know, nobody is really saying that just because he comes from this high-tech background that means he's going to be able to change, you know, Michigan's economy from one that's so reliant on auto industry, which is in recession, to one that's more in tune with how the economy seems to be going these days.
Well, your story also talks about why not have a businessman in the governor's office. Former Governor Romney was a businessman with a background in the automotive industry. So why not?
Sure. I mean, it's voters clearly wanted something different, and it was especially true in Michigan, but probably across the country in the recent midterm elections that they voted, you know, against what they saw as entrenched politicians and voted for change. And Snyder certainly represents that. And, you know, whether he's going to be the ticket that will make a difference, Michigan's certainly looking for something that'll work right now. And voters obviously opted for an outsider's approach.
We're talking with Paul Egan from the Detroit News, who works in the Lansing Bureau and covers the state capitol and politics. And you're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. You can find Paul's story at detnews.com, titled More Nerds Needed. And Paul, before I let you go, so much positive energy. We've got a new administration coming in, but a little bit different. We see Governor-elect Snyder reaching across the aisle to bring Democrats on board his administration. We see him digging back into the past with the appointment of Dick Posthumus to be his senior advisor. We see him trying to pick experienced, smart people wherever they come from to get some work done, and he is already reaching out trying to create some positive relationships so that they can get work done. What's your take on what you're seeing?
Well, I think we're still it's going to be interesting to see what the rest of his appointments are like, but he certainly sent a message with the Dillon appointment, the appointment of Democratic House Speaker Andy Dillon, that you know, that he meant what he said in the campaign, that he wants less partisanship. You know, there are a lot of people are not overly enthused about that appointment, just in that a lot of the unions and the Democrats were unhappy about Dillon's position on retirement issues and benefit issues for employees. And, you know, some Democrats say, well, he was more a Republican than a Democrat anyway, but clearly Snyder is trying to set a different tone, but I think until we see the rest of his cabinet, it's really hard to judge, you know, to what extent we're going, you know, just what kind of team this will be. Some people have expressed a little bit of surprise, even though they see them as very high quality people, at how many people he has, at least on his transition team, drawn so far from the Engler administration.
All right, Paul, thanks so much. Enjoyed your stories. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay, Tony, have a good day.